distinguished Kenya. Let me just run through for those people who actually speak Swahili. Let me explain what I was saying. It's a pleasure to be in Kenya, to be in Nairobi, and to welcome you all to this ICANN meeting. Thank you to Kenya for hosting us in this wonderful convention centre, this wonderful city, and this fantastic country. And particularly to our hosts, KEDIC, and the Communications Commission of Kenya. So on behalf of the ICANN community, thank you to the performers, and thank you to the speakers for that prayer, and for everyone who's welcomed us to this marvellous city. What a wonderful way to welcome us. What an exciting place this is, both physically and for our organisation. Remember that we are here in the cradle of modern humanity. The plains and valleys of Kenya are where the first modern humans, Homo sapiens sapiens, emerged more than 200,000 years ago. From this very place, or very near, modern humanity spread across the globe, starting villages, building nations, fostering civilization. And humanity spread out from here across the other continents until it covered the globe. And people have come to live in all the imaginable environments, from the tundra to the desert, to forests, to the ice, to the coasts. And in that diaspora, much has worked to separate the people of the planet, their languages, their cultures, and mostly the distance between them. In fact, through most of the time that Homo sapiens has struggled to exist, we've had to struggle to overcome the effects of that distance. And for thousands of generations, we were limited by how far we could walk or ride a beast. But over the last 2,000 years, and that's 1% of the very short history of our species, our ability to traverse distance has been growing. First it was roads, then it was ocean-going ships, then trains, then the telegraph, then aeroplanes, and then the radio. And then, just over 40 years ago, or 0.02% of our species' short history, the internet was born. And as those 40 years have passed, we've seen the internet grow and grow. And it too now covers the planet. And we have seen it steadily erase the distance between the peoples, the communities, and between those continents. Distance is being defeated. It's now just as easy to consult with an expert in Kenyan anthropology from my side of the planet as it is to consult with someone in my own community. And we're not only erasing distance, we're erasing differences. No matter how we connect, no matter what we connect to, we're all using the same global interoperable internet. And that's part of why we're here this week. Going by the schedule, you'll think that we're here to talk about new generic top-level domains, about the new top-level domains we're creating, which will allow internet addresses to be done using all of the scripts of the world, not just English. We'll be talking about the role of government and the Government Advisory Committee in the special relationship that they have in ICANN. We'll be talking about our efforts in security, stability, and resiliency. We'll be talking about how to tackle DNS abuse, about some of the malicious conduct that goes on the internet. All in crucial, important topics. And these will be the sessions running in our work over the next 5 days. And I encourage you all to take part and make sure that your voice is heard. Because ICANN uses bottom-up processes, there is no central command and control in ICANN. There is no top-down process. Because it's bottom-up, each of you has an equal opportunity to take part and make sure that your voice is heard. Not only because the topics are important, but because the work we do here is so important. It's about strengthening the internet and its architecture. It's about shrinking the distance between everybody on the globe. It's about helping people connect to their communities and to the world itself. One of our exciting projects is the Fast Track Program for Country Code Names, the IDN CCTLD project. Since that was launched at our last meeting, we have now had 4 strings, new CCTLD IDNs, approved. This means that those countries will be using domain names in the scripts of the languages of those countries. For Egypt, the Russian Federation, the United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia. another important step in the increasing globalisation of the internet. So people in these countries will be connecting with each other using entirely their own native scripts. And remember that these are just the first four. There are many, many more coming down that process, and some are just around the corner. And we want there to be more. And to help us, we've arranged a partnership with UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization. In an agreement signed in December, they are working with us on some of the technical aspects of using these scripts. This partnership will really help keep IDNs moving forward. They'll also look at how they can assist developing countries participate in a multilingual internet. This is a global partnership that we think will have global results. Partnerships are why you have travelled here today from all corners of the globe. Thank you for being part of the unique ICANN model, and thank you for your dedication to the internet. Our efforts here this week are going to be to make sure that that distance between us continues to be erased. So thank you again. Welcome to Nairobi, and I have pleasure in declaring ICANN's 37th meeting open. And it now gives me pleasure to call Rod Beckstrom, our CEO and President, back to the stage to introduce our special guests. Rod.
It is now my enormous pleasure to introduce the Honourable Vice President of Kenya and Minister for Home Affairs. It is Mr. Honourable Stephen Kalonzo Musyoka. So please give him a hand. He has a rather remarkable background. He's a lawyer by profession and holds a postgraduate diploma in business management from the Mediterranean Institute of Management in Nicosia, Cyprus, and a diploma in law from the Kenya School of Law, and a Bachelor of Law from the University of Nairobi. He was first elected to Parliament in 1985 and has served in a number of different portfolios, including works, housing and physical planning, foreign affairs, international cooperation, education, and human resource development and tourism, and also the environment. I guess the question I have is, what ministries has he not run or been a part of? His experience is so broad across this great nation. He's chaired and spearheaded peace initiatives within the framework of the Intergovernmental Authority for Development, IGAD, which we'll be also meeting here the next 2 days with ministers and heads of state. And he's helped in the peace processes in both Sudan and Somalia, and also in the Great Lakes region. And having worked in that area, a field, for 3.5 years of my life, it's a tremendous honor to introduce the Vice President. Please give him a hand again. Thank you.
Mr. Peter Frasch, Chairman of ICANN Board, Mr. Rod Beckstrom, President of ICANN, our own Kenyan team led by our Permanent Secretary, Members of Parliament, I think the Minister will also be on his way, our delegates, ladies and gentlemen, I feel tremendously honored this morning to be able to welcome you to our country, but the Chairman, I think we should give him an honorary citizenship of this country because he speaks very good Kiswahili. And it's therefore I felt, in fact, I should have come up with a Kiswahili statement because it looks to me that you can all follow. Therefore, a very warm welcome. You bring with you tremendous blessings to us. We are experiencing right now off-season rains. I think that the meeting I'm also my sincere hope that you not only enjoy the meetings, and I think from really what I've seen this morning, you're set to enjoy every moment of it. I started complaining when the entertaining team came onto the stage, because I saw some kind of ballroom dancing. And I said, this is not Kenyan. But at the end of it, I think we're all in sync with Kayamba Africa, one of our wonderful entertainment groups in this country. And I'm told tomorrow you'll be able to sample a little bit of that Kenyan culture. Apart from our cultural exhibition, please do find time as well to visit some of our other attractions. We do have the Masai Mara, for instance. Everybody does know that's one of, I think, the wonders of the world. You cannot truly claim to have been in Kenya if you do not visit the Mara. And if you want to be more adventurous, then you can go to places like the Meru National Park and other places. But you will all, I'm sure, appreciate that Kenyans are open-hearted. They welcome all their visitors. If you begin to ask them questions about their country, they tell you everything, including that what you do not really want to hear. So you have to find at some stage when to tell them, stop, I've had enough. They love Kenyans. And I have heard the chairman talk about the marvels of the Great Rift Valley, the cradle of mankind. And I know that if there be Americans amongst you, I want to confirm to you that President Barack Obama is not a Kenyan. He's an American president with the very deep Kenyan roots. And all of us do then have some roots, don't we? If you have to look at the other aspect, as Chairman has said, that the cradle of mankind is indeed in the Great Rift Valley. The importance of this meeting, ladies and gentlemen, cannot be overemphasized, considering that the internet has become a key resource in modern-day economics. It has also opened doors of hitherto unknown opportunities and reduced the global space by making communication and other transactions a lot easier. The importance of the internet is evidenced at this meeting, where I'm informed that participants who are unable to come to Kenya have the opportunity to follow proceedings through internet-assisted remote participation. Ladies and gentlemen, this meeting also does yet again present a unique opportunity to re-examine the significance of the internet. Admittedly, the internet has become an integral part of our lives. It plays a pivotal role in almost all our daily activities. Indeed, it is one of the most significant inventions of our time, and one that has changed our perspective and the way we do things. I therefore congratulate ICANN and the entire global internet community for the good work that has been achieved over the years and the positive transformation the internet has brought to the lives of people everywhere. Kenya has not been left behind in the digital revolution. The government, as well as the private sector, and indeed the civil society, have all played their roles to ensure that the country is an active participant in the internet arena. We have been dedicated to building crucial infrastructure to enable access to faster, efficient, and affordable connections by Kenyans and others in our region. To this end, the government financed the laying of the East African Marine Systems, we call it TEAMS Fiber Optic Undersea Cable, that landed at the coast of Mombasa last year. Within the same period, the laying of the privately owned Seacom cable was also completed, bringing about world-class connectivity across eastern and southern Africa. A third submarine cable, which is codenamed EASY, is expected to land at Kenya's coast by June this year. Additionally, in late 2009, Orange inaugurated the Lower Indian Ocean Network, LION, cable in Rion, and plans are underway to extend this cable as well to Mombasa. Ladies and gentlemen, to access full benefits of the submarine cables, The government has deployed digital arteries throughout the country, linking in particular rural, underserved, and unserved areas. Implementation of the digital arteries was also aimed at stimulating private sector participation in the provision of rural telecommunication services. A national optic fiber broadband infrastructure is now in place throughout the country, with the end users connected to the main submarine cables. As more Kenyans get access to the internet through computers and mobile phones, government services will reach more citizens. I remember in our discussion with the chairman and the chairman of ICANN and the president asking me, what is it that you are trying to do in Kenya? What are objectives? And I told them that although we do have a very young country, because 65% of the total Kenyan population are Kenyans aged below 25 years, believe it or not, our intention is to make it possible for every Kenyan child to be able to own a laptop computer. Now, this, I know, is a tall order, but you're working round the clock, and Parliament, everybody in government is committed to ensuring that we bring our kids up to speed, because without it, they will not properly be citizens of the 21st century. To this end, government has now automated services through various digital village projects, facilitating access to services such as e-procurement, e-registry, integrated land management system, and e-health. One particularly fast-growing area is e-learning, which offers individualized learning at a low cost. Indeed, we are at the threshold of becoming a digital economy, which I believe will be instrumental in building and broadening the investment base in Kenya and in the neighboring countries that are also benefiting from the submarine connectivity. The entry of fiber optic cable is expected to enhance business process outsourcing, BPO, as well as software development. And here I must congratulate our friends from the Indian subcontinent, because I think they set the trend in terms of business outsourcing. We are trying to catch up with our Indian friends in this part of the world. So far, we have seen significant success in the two areas. In recognition of this potential, the government has in the past years undertaken a series of policy, regulatory, and structural reform initiatives to enhance the ICT sector and increase its contribution to the economy. These measures include a new set of policy guidelines and legal framework, which now brings on board legislation on electronic transactions. In addition, the government has identified ICT as one of the main drivers to transform Kenya into a middle-income economy by the year 2030. Against this backdrop, we welcome the enhanced role of governments in ICANN and the space given to the discussions on public policy. And at this juncture, ladies and gentlemen, let me say something about the global concern of internet security. There is no doubt that the internet has enormous benefits. On the flip side of the coin, however, it also offers an inexpensive and easy weapon of modern warfare. As the number of internet users increases, so do cyber attacks. Further, the deployment of new broadband connections exposes networks to high-speed exploits. I would therefore wish to request that issues of internet security be given emphasis, the emphasis they deserve. Capacity building in the area of cybersecurity is not only necessary, but also an urgent measure that should be undertaken with intensity. We need to learn from each other how best we can manage internet security in a coordinated and responsive manner. Partnerships will once again play a critical role in curbing this vice that may quickly erode the gains we have made with the internet. And with those comments, ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure, though the chairman has actually, on his part, declared this conference open. It is indeed my pleasure to join him in declaring the 37th International Meeting of Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN, officially open and welcome to Kenya once again. Thank you very much.
Asantene sana. That is to our Kenyan hosts and our Kenyan friends. Thank you so much for everything you've done to pull together this ICANN Kenya 37. This is ICANN's seventh time in Africa out of 37 meetings. As we rotate around the world to engage with the globe, one out of five regions at a time, and it's our second time in sub-Saharan Africa, and we're thrilled to be here. The path here was a bit of a rocky road and a few forks, but we all stayed together, and thanks to the tremendous support of our hosts, we're now able to enjoy the meeting here in this beautiful conference center and in this magnificent city. In honor of them, I need your help. We heard our chairman speak some very nice Swahili, so I need all of your help now to speak some Swahili as we connect some dots together. So please join me in saying Aun Ganishwe. So, one, two, three. Aun Ganishwe. Okay, a little bit louder. I couldn't hear that. So, one, two, three. Aun Ganishwe. All right, now I'm going to say three stanzas, and then when I raise my hands, we're all going to say Aun Ganishwe. All right? So, Ulimwengo Moja. Wavuti Moja. Kila Moja. Aun Ganishwe. Let's do it one more time. Ulimwengo moja, wavuti moja, kila moja, aun ganishwe. One more time. Ulimwengo moja, wavuti moja, kila moja, aun ganishwe. So that's one world, one internet, everyone connected. And that's what brings us here today. And the last thing I'll try to say in Swahili right now is umoja ni nguvu. Utengano ni adufu. Wavuti inatupia nguvu. And what that says is unity is strength, division is weakness, and the internet gives us unity. So with that, we're so thrilled that all of you have come here. I guess just make sure my moving mic is going. We're especially thrilled because another event has landed upon us in the same venue, which at first we thought of all the considerations with logistics and coordination, and then we realized what a blessing, in fact, it was. There will be five presidents of African countries here in the building tomorrow. There are many ministers from Africa here today meeting in the large amphitheater building at the other end of the conference center. And their organization, the Intergovernmental Authority for Development, was started in the 1960s to address a drought. There was not enough rain, and the crops were harvested, and many people were suffering intensely. And IGAD was brought together to handle that crisis and that drought. And those leaders are coming together today, in part, to discuss security and very, very pressing security issues in East Africa, which is where the group is based. And as the Vice President just mentioned, cybersecurity is among their issues. So the internet is always among us. But if we look at Africa's challenge, I would like to posit that Africa is moving from an old model of aid to a new model of the internet. Because many organizations that were started in the 60s and 70s had one set of assumptions and a model for top-level planning and very hierarchical. But the revolution which is taking place in Kenya and now across Africa is from the bottom up. And it's driven by what? It's driven by the internet, by connectivity, by the ability of humans to connect, to communicate, educate, and to do commerce and to improve their lives. And it's on this score that Kenya is an outstanding example. As the Vice President mentioned, there's now a fiber connection to Mombasa, which actually goes all the way to this conference center. We have some of the best, if not the best, fiber optic connectivity that ICANN has ever had in the world is right here, right now, in Nairobi. Thanks for this important work the government and the private sector working together have done. That service is so good. Do you know what it costs to get high-speed broadband access at your home here in Kenya? $13 a month. $13 a month. That's an excellent price. But I'd say it's also too high. And we hope it comes down even lower all over Africa, where we have 1 billion people, many of whom want access to the internet. And no one needs to take my word for it, because a survey of 1,700 Kenyans was just completed 3 days ago and published by TNS. And the research said that 77% of Kenyans want better internet access. And 63% of Kenyans value better internet access more than good telephone service. More than good telephone service. Can you imagine what that means? So the internet is becoming an incredibly important platform for economic development. Kenya has led in other bottom-up fashions. Kenya is a leader globally in micro-lending practices. And I've had the honor to be involved with a micro-lending group here called Jamii Bora, which started with 50 very poor women living in one of the toughest communities in Nairobi only 10 years ago. 50 beggar women with nothing. They probably didn't have a dollar between them. Those women started an organization that today has over 250,000 members in the organization. Started in Kenya, started in Nairobi, developed in Nairobi, and spreading across Africa. Those 250,000 represent more than 1 million people with the family members touched. Bottoms up, lifting from the bottom. So we see Kenya's leadership here as well. The internet itself, though, is perhaps the most sustainable platform for development, like microlending that builds up small businesses and gives so many people an opportunity to lift themselves. The internet is an incredible tool. And because of advances in networking technology, this $13 price tag will be able to go down because of improvements in technology and bandwidths. And in fact, every new country in Africa that spreads new fiber optic networks has lower expenses in building their networks than the last country because the prices are dropping so quickly and the technology is advancing. And I think you'll join me in the dream for many Africans to maybe see broadband at a dollar a month in the future, which would extend it to almost everyone on this continent. So Africa is needed for leadership. 15% of the globe lives here, 1 billion people, but only 4% of the internet users at present. I would now like to invite the leaders that are at the other conference here, the IGAD event, to come and join us to link the traditional work of development and now security, which is important in East Africa, together with the internet. And I would like to throw down the gauntlet to the presidents who will be here tomorrow to ask for their help for all the people of Africa and for ICANN in four specific areas. Number one, to shatter telecom monopolies and to introduce competition, such as Kenya is doing so well, bringing in private sector leaders and so many different players, Orange and KDN and so many other parties, leading to highly effective competitive internet rates. This is what Africa needs. If you have a monopoly, what do you have? The most expensive internet access rates in the world. And where are those? Largely in Africa. And I ask you, how can the poorest people on earth pay the highest internet prices? It's an incredible break on development. It's an incredible wall and impediment. And we look forward to all the leaders of Africa following the many positive models that are also here to continue to shatter the monopolies, deregulate, and open up to effective competitive markets for the citizens and people of Africa. As we heard in the survey, this is what they want and what they need. Secondly, to dispel the stories. There's so many stories that are circulating in Africa that are not true about the internet and how the internet's being coordinated. There's a little story that's circulating, right, that IPv6 is not available to African countries or to developing countries. That is a story which is being systematically spread around this continent, which I have heard dozens of times. Is it true? No, It's completely false. There are already parties in Africa that have trillions of IPv6 addresses. Afrinic is one of the finest internet registries in the world that manages address distribution. It's an amazing organization founded by Nick Quaynor, who is here with us at the event. Afrinic is allocating IPv4 addresses to all its 800 members that need it, and every one of those 800 that fills out an application and says, we need addresses, will receive more than 1 trillion internet addresses. So we need the leaders of Africa to hold their ministers and other parties responsible to answer the question, to dispel those stories. Because the IPv6 addresses are available, please contact Afrinic. And if you're not receiving what you need, contact ICANN. Call me personally. I'll make sure it's taken care of. So the truth is there's more than enough IPv6 for all of Africa. And we need to dispel those stories so that we can build on the truth. Because anyone who spread such dishonest stories cannot be trusted for making policies. The next point is we need ICANN's help to shape the policies of the internet and our part of policymaking, which is around the domain name system, internet domains, and addresses, etc., which is a key central coordination capability to unify the internet. We need more African involvement. We are thrilled to see the positive example of Kenya that has been so engaged with the Government Advisory Committee. We are thrilled to see there's 19 other African countries involved in the Government Advisory Committee, we call the GAC. But over 30 African nations are missing. And if your nation does not have a seat at the table for policymaking, how can you help shape the future of the internet for your country? And how can you make sure that your needs are addressed? So we invite these presidents here tomorrow in this building to please assign some bright, talented people with policy experience or technology experience and join the GAC. Our next meeting is June 20th in Brussels. Please send your delegates. Please join our Government Advisory Committee. We need your help. We need your involvement. It's a lot of tough work. It's not easy. There's tough legal issues. There's tough policy issues. There's tough technology issues. But we need your help to move forward. And we welcome your engagement. The 5 presidents tomorrow, 2 of their countries have GAC members, 3 do not. We ask the other 3, please join the GAC and send your members to Brussels on June 20th. Finally, the 4th ask is simply, please view the internet not as just a part of industrial structure that's incredibly critical. Please view the internet, and many of you already do. The 5 here committed in Addis Ababa in just January to focus on ICT as a platform for development. Please spread that across Africa. The internet is the platform for the future. So leaders, when you come here tomorrow, we're very happy you're in the building. You'll be in another room. Please come join us in our room. It's a set of small steps for you, but it's a huge leap forward for Africa to moving into the future of the internet. So again, 4 messages. We need your help to work together to shatter monopolies, to get better service for the people. Secondly, to bring truth to the issues of internet address allocations and IPv6, which is readily available. Thirdly, please join the GAC. Fourthly, please see the internet as a key development platform. And we need your help in all of that. So we're thrilled to have all of you here. And now I'd like to introduce one of our other esteemed guests, the man who's really helped to make this entire event happen. So it's my great honor to introduce Sammy Bukhara. Sammy is chairman of KNIC, or the Kenyan Network Information Center, that manages and operates .ke, the Kenyan top-level country code for Kenya that many people register with and all the businesses in Kenya. They've done an excellent job. They've been a leader in the region and contributed so much globally. He also serves as a member of the IT-enabled services working group at the Prime Minister's office. He also founded Nairobi Net Limited, one of the pioneer internet service providers in Kenya. And he's a founding member and previous chairman of the Telecommunication Service Providers Association in Kenya, TESPOC. So, and he's also a member of the board of directors of the Kenya ICT Board, a government advisory body on ICT development out of the top office here in Kenya. Sammy, I now hand it over to you. Thank you.
the Minister for Information and Communication, Mr. Honorable Samuel Pogisho, the Permanent Secretary, the Minister of Information and Communication, Dr. Bitange Ndemo, and the Director General for Communication Commission of Kenya, Mr. Charles Njoroge, the ICANN Chairman, Peter Thrush, and the ICANN President, Rod Beckstrom, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very exciting moment for us this day that ICANN is here, especially for Africa. In 1995, when the first 64 kbps link was connected from Nairobi to the US, you know, the technical engineers at Africa Online were very excited. It was a very significant moment that for the first time, Kenya was able to send a signal to the internet. The next 5 years, we didn't have our own registry, and a meeting held at the Hilton Hotel by the then CEOs of the various internet service providers, myself included, we had lunch, and people were wondering, why are competitors having lunch together? At that time, we were discussing about redelegation. And subsequent discussions that were held between the operators, the CCK, and the Kenyan government, and ICANN resulted into the inception of KENIC, Kenya Network Information Center. And 9 years later, with over 12,500 domain names, KENIC is hosting the first 2010 ICANN meeting. And so we are very happy, especially people in the internet community, that this is a very important moment. And we want to thank you for choosing to come to Nairobi and write this history for Kenya to become the East African country to host ICANN. For many of you, it was a difficult decision to make, but I'm sure you're glad you made it. Kenya is a warm country. We are welcoming. We've got a fair climate, and I'm sure you will enjoy many other opportunities for tourists. Then the coming days, there are more important things that you're going to discuss, and some of them have been said. And for us, we are concerned about the stability and reliability of the internet, especially in the areas of security, DNS security, and cybersecurity. And we will be very glad, as some of the workshops that are ongoing, that we'll have measures to ensure that this internet that we are increasingly relying on, especially here in Kenya, will be safe for us to use. And with the potential increase of domain names, there are opportunities. However, with equal measure, we guard ourselves against the potential of alienating less developed groups and countries from identities that rightfully belong to them. And ICANN has grown to be respected because of the bottom-up approach and the balance between commerce and public interest. I trust that you will deliberate these issues, you will develop policies that will ensure equitable growth of domain name system to ensure that it correctly reflects the global internet community in aspects of socio-economic development. Kenya has a big plans to extend the internet to every corner. I'm sure you've heard how the various infrastructure projects we have to make sure that even the farthest corner of Northeastern, the local user will be able to register his domain and have an IP address to connect his tracking device to monitor the movement of his cows. I would like to thank those people that have worked with us around the clock to ensure the success of this event. The members of the organizing committee, the Kenyan government, the Ministry of Information and Communication and Communication Commission of Kenya, telecommunication service providers, Kenya Action Network, the local and international sponsors, and especially the ICANN staff and the board of directors. We want to thank you sincerely for all the efforts that you've put to make sure that this event takes place here. And last but not least, you, the consumers, who have kept internet usage in Kenya vibrant, without which we will not be here. I once more thank you for your decision to come to Nairobi and wish you a very successful ICANN 2010. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sammy, for your excellent presentation. And now I would like to introduce Minister, or Mr. Charles Njoroge, who is the Director General and CEO of the Communications Commission of Kenya, CCK. He's spearheaded a number of seminal studies at CCK, including the Universal Access Study, which gave birth to CCK's Universal Access Strategy in 2005, resulting in the undersea cable, TEAMS, and the national backbone. So he is the person we can thank for the development of this incredible fiber optic network across Kenya and helping the rest of East Africa. He's been instrumental in the establishment and the foundation of KENIC, this country code top-level domain, the KENIT project, and other initiatives such as the digitization of the secondary education, among others. Sir, we are honored to have you today. Thank you for joining us at ICANN.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Nairobi. I want to recognize the Vice President, who has just left, for opening the meeting, His Excellency the Vice President, Honorable Kalonzo Musyoka, Minister for Information and Communication in Kenya, Honorable Samuel Poghisio, President of ICANN, Rod Bengstrom, Chairman of ICANN Board, Peter Thrash, PS, Ministry of Information, Dr. Bitange Ndemo, Member of Parliament for Karachuno, India, Honorable India Rage, Board and Management of ICT Institutions present here, including CCK, Delegates of the 37th ICANN Meeting, Members of the Media Fraternity, Invited Guests, Ladies and Gentlemen. It is with great pleasure for me to address this August House during the official opening of the 37th ICANN International Meeting that my organization has had the pleasure to co-sponsor. As an industry regulator, CCK has been at the forefront of internet development in the country and within the East African region. We have not only encouraged more players in this segment through an enabling regulatory regime, but have also assisted in putting in place key infrastructure that has enhanced the quality of the business. Most recently, and notably, we together with the government facilitated the laying of the international undersea optic fiber cable as well as terrestrial network to support it. This is a development that we expect will transform out ICT landscape in the region for the benefit of the business and governance. Through public-private partnership, CCK helped set up the Kenya CCTLD registry, a model that has won world acclaim. Through this pioneering, we encouraged and supported other countries to set up their registries. Kenya, through CCK, pioneered the setting up of Internet Exchange Point, which has since been adopted by other administrations in the region. Currently, the East African region is in the process of setting up regional exchange points to keep internet traffic local to the member countries. We are also currently in the membership of the East African Cybersecurity Task Force, whose mandate is to facilitate the establishment of SATS, a cybersecurity framework within the East African region. The task force has already conducted successful benchmarks. And in addition, individual countries are now in the process of establishing national SATs. In this regard, Kenya is currently in the process of establishing a national computer emergency response team known as the KESAT, Kenya Computer Emergency Response Team. The purpose of KESAT is to manage cybersecurity issues in the country through a coordinated response to cybersecurity incidents, awareness creation, the provision of cybersecurity advisory, among others. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm grateful to ICANN for hosting this meeting here in Kenya, and on behalf of the local secretariat, I wish to assure all delegates and participants that we shall do all in our means to ensure you not only have a memorable meeting, but also ensure you enjoy this, the social scene of Nairobi and the country at large. I believe the publicity surrounding this meeting will greatly raise the awareness of internet users and providers in the country for the benefit of the development of the local industry. Many Kenyans will also have an opportunity of attending the meeting and enrich their knowledge through sharing of experience with other delegates. I thank you for your attention. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Niroji, the Director General of CKK, and thank you for the contribution that CKK has played in setting up this meeting. It's now my pleasure to introduce the Honourable Samuel Poggisio. Mr. Poggisio is an MP. He is the Minister for Information and Communication, a position he's held since 2008. He holds a Master of Arts in Communication from Wheaton College in the United States. And interestingly, and in my experience, this is the first time I've encountered a minister with this qualification. He also has a Master of Divinity. So he's able to call on all sorts of assistance when he's facing technical problems. An MD in Philosophy and Theology from Lincoln College in the United States. His first degree was a Bachelor of Science from Makerere University here. He has served in the Kenyan government in various capacities since 1988, including serving as Assistant Minister, Ministry of Education, Science and Technology. And he's been a member of a number of parliamentary committees, including the Public Investment Committee, the Public Accounts Committee. He's a member of the Amani Forum and chairperson of the ACP-EU Joint Parliamentary Assembly. He's an elected MP for the Kachaliba constituency. And Minister, it's a sign of the great support that ICANN has received from the Kenyan government that the Minister of ICT is able to join us today. We thank you for that, and I look forward to hearing from you as the important work going on in the ministry under your leadership. Ladies and gentlemen, Minister Poggisio.
The Vice President of the Republic of Kenya and Minister for Home Affairs, Honorable Kalonzo Musyoka, who has since stepped out, the Executive Officer and the President, Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN, Mr. Rod Beckstrom, the Permanent Secretary, Dr. Bitange Ndemo, my Chairman of the Parliamentary Committee in charge of communication matters, Honorable James Rege, the Chairman, Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN, Mr. Peter Thrash, the Chairman, Kenya Network Information Center, Mr. Sami Buruchara, the Director General of CCK, Mr. Charles Njoroge, invited guests, ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted to join you this morning on the occasion of the official opening of the 37th Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN, Nairobi Annual Meeting. On behalf of the people and the government of Kenya, I wish to acknowledge the presence of all delegates. We welcome you all and wish you a memorable stay here in Kenya. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenya is indeed honored to be the host of the 37th ICANN Forum. We are grateful to have been accorded the opportunity, and we wish you all a pleasant and rewarding time in this country. The hosting of this forum in Africa provides the information communications technology industry and government officials from the developed world with an opportunity to have first-hand experience of Africa's needs and challenges in regard to ICANN. It is my hope that this forum will deliberate on how to overcome existing challenges and enable African countries to benefit from ICANN. Ladies and gentlemen, as a country, we have seen the registry grow from about 7,000 domain names in July 2007 to 9,486 in July 2008, with the number of registrars growing from 28 from 77 to 105. Revenue within the same period grew from Kenya shillings 12,604,262 to 15,191,622, an increase of 21%. We are currently developing an investment policy with the aim of ensuring Kenya Network Information Center, KENIC, maintains at least a one-year cash reserve within the next 3 years. At the same time, we have maintained its level of participation in regional and global discussions on issues relating to internet governance and management, in particular, Internet Protocol version 6, the IPv6. The same period saw it engage in activities aimed at creating awareness in both the .ke domain name space and developments in the information communications technology sector. I would like to thank the sponsors of this meeting. I would like particularly to thank KENIC, not only for the work they do in representing Kenya internationally, but also in the operations of the country code and the organizing of this meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, there are representatives here of the technical community, the Internet Engineering Task Force, people who are involved in running registries, such as the regional internet registries, the country code registries, and the top-level domain registries, other people from business, both on the supply side, ISPs, and the registries themselves, and the registrars who help serve the registries worldwide. As a country, we appreciate the role ICT plays in social and economic development. It is for this reason that the government is investing heavily in the computer, hard and software, both on government departments and in schools. So far, we have embraced e-government across the public service and mounted a program to supply computers to schools. In addition to these efforts, investment in information communication technology infrastructure, particularly the fiber optic cable, is one of the major steps the government is taking to bridge the digital divide amongst our people and to lower the cost of doing business. This will be possible through the fiber optic cable that has now ushered in a new era of high-speed internet. In line with the country's Vision 2030, the government's goal is to make Kenya the information communications technology or ICT hub of the region and join the ranks of internationally competitive leaders in business process outsourcing, BPOs. In this endeavor, the government is working hand-in-hand with the private sector to recognize and appreciate the role of the sector and in the economic development through employment and wealth creation. As a government, we are committed to the providing of all necessary incentives that will promote the use of information communication, ICT, in the country. We are also ready to consider proposals from various players in the sector on how to further promote information communications technologies, and particularly the internet. It is in recognition of these efforts that the World Mobile Congress bestowed on Kenyan government the Leadership Award at the just-concluded GSMA Congress in Barcelona, Spain. I urge all Kenyans to make full use of the technology advances that the country is making. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the next few years will no doubt prove equally pivotal. We are just beginning to understand what ICANN will do now that the formation of the commitments are in place. We do know that ICANN will continue to support the essential work of the individual stakeholder constituencies while working collaboratively with them to ensure that the Internet of the future remains a transformative technology that empowers people around the globe, spurs innovation, facilitates trade and commerce, and enables the free and unfettered flow of information and continues to reflect the public interest. Ladies and gentlemen, at this juncture, all may wish to note that Kenya has a wonderful tourist attraction. I urge you to spare the time to sample the warm hospitality of our people, as well as the flora and fauna unique to this country, which you may say or many call the cradle of mankind. With these few remarks, I would like to say thank you very much and wish you enjoyable deliberations, and God bless.
Minister, thank you very much. It's always exciting to hear the news and the developments that are going on in each of the countries. Thank you very much for that speech and your presence here today. We now move to some more administrative matters of the meeting, and I'm going to call on Doug Brent to introduce Rob Hogarth and explain some of the meeting details. Doug Brent, Chief Operating Officer for ICANN. Doug, welcome to the stage.
Jumbo, good morning, everyone. So we've gotten the big view of Kenya. Now we talk about some of the small details of running this meeting, and particularly looking at the remote participation aspects of the meeting here today. One that may be invisible to all of you is you may have noticed this scribing taking place on the right. To make that, but there's no one here in front of the room. Where's that happening? The people who come to a lot of ICANN meetings may have been asking themselves that question. So what's happening is using this great fiber optic link we have going back to the United States, the proceedings are being sent back to California where we have some scribes who are doing this scribing live. And it's a great example of this remote participation. So I think for those of us who are here in Nairobi, obviously it's a wonderful opportunity to be here. I personally have just, really enjoyed my few days here, and thanks to the host where everything just seems to magically, the buses show up magically on time, everything seems to be working. But very important for ICANN is that people don't have to physically be here to participate. And we've really tried to make Nairobi an example, really use the technology here to be an example of how great this remote participation can be. So let me just quickly cover that and what the objectives are. Number one is we'd really like to offer a virtual meeting experience to everyone. And by the way, that's not only for Americans who are in North America, it's for the Kenyans who might not be able to be here physically present today. These proceedings are recorded and will be available on the internet. Excuse me, can I ask you to move it? Thank you very much. And we really want to assure that there's an equal opportunity for people to participate. Again, for longtime ICANN participants, we're going to try a little experiment this time, which is we do public forums and other kinds of meetings to give those who are remote equal access to asking questions, getting answers, and really feeling like we're having a big meeting hall that goes across the world. A particular focus has been not on 3D video cubes or telepresence with super high bandwidth, but really making this remote access work for people who have low bandwidth connections. That is, wherever people are in the world, being able to get chat access, being able to get voice access, audio access, to have this scribe feed presented, slides, and then up to live video, which is being broadcast right now. Can you click forward, please? Just very basically, the services we're providing are something called Adobe Connect, which is a virtual chat room. I think that the African music we saw at the beginning is probably the most exciting thing ever sent through Adobe Connect. Live streamed recorded video, audio, two-way audio bridges, and interpretation. You'll see interpretation in many languages throughout this meeting. Just one point on this, even though we officially begin today, many have been working over the weekend, and just one example, in the GNSO meeting we had on Saturday, we had a meeting with 50 live participants and 55 remote participants, or at least those are the numbers I heard, and just a perfect example of this remote participation working. Click forward, please. For the people who are here and participating in this meeting, it can be sort of overwhelming in terms of the number of sessions, where should I go, how do I remotely participate. There's many links now shown on your screen. I will advise you to go to one, which is NBO. That airport code might sound familiar. NBO.ICANN.org, and that'll be your opportunity to find out what all of the elements of the meeting are, how to participate remotely, what options are available, and access to the recorded presentations and materials. So that's just a very brief overview of the remote participation options today. We'll probably find during the week we'll have some learning to do, some challenges. We had a power outage this morning, but I think with all of our help, we'll make this the best remote participation meeting ever for ICANN. Thank you very much.
We thank all of you very much for being another part of ICANN history in building this global community and moving the internet coordination forward. We thank our Kenyan hosts again. So with that, this meeting is adjourned, and we'll now have some beautiful music and performance by the Safari Cats. Thank you.
Heart and soul, body and mind, but the very essence of our existence is spirit. What is it about the human spirit that produces the courage and the strength to beat insurmountable odds, to survive and endure despite unbelievable circumstances? Our spirit embodies the very essence of our existence. We believe that it has been handed down from generation to generation. Beginning in Africa, the motherland, where for eons, we believe that the Creator heard us when we cried, saw us when we faltered, and helped us along the way. And now, more than ever, it is time for us to get back in touch with the spirit that lives inside us all. Because without it, we are less than whole. But with it, there is nothing we cannot overcome. For the essence of our existence is spirit.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Safari Cats, we thank you. This ends. What is Rod doing?
We can have the slides from my report. We will continue now with the president's report. Doug will help me with. If we can bring that up, please. The president's report. Dick, this is on track, correct? On track for now. So I'll start off the president's report. This is a quick summary of the status at ICANN to be, and I'll be assisted with some of my colleagues in this presentation. Next slide, please. Okay, we just completed our strategic plan for ICANN based upon the inputs that you, the community, gave in Seoul, Korea. We started a public consultation process with dialogue and online surveys and reviews. This will be included in your materials. Next slide, please. Okay, let's see. There we go. And the strategic plan this year has come together with four major thrusts, and we've reorganized the efforts to simplify it. The challenge that you, the community, gave us and the board gave us was the comment that the strategic plan previously was hard to follow and a bit too complex. So the new plan has a one-page summary of the four strategic initiatives of ICANN that all of our projects should fall under. And those four areas are DNS stability and security, consumer choice, competition and innovation, IANA and core operations, and a healthy internet ecosystem. And those are the four overarching initiatives of ICANN. And under that, we have different projects, different strategic objectives that you have come up with. So under DNS stability, for example, 100% DNS uptime, lower DNS abuse, which means the work on cybersecurity, more secure top-level domain operations, and improved DNS resiliency to attacks. Under consumer choice, competition, and innovation, we have a number of different initiatives, including Everyone Connected, which is why the work in Africa here is so important, and others. The third mainstream is what we call IANA and core operations. IANA is the Internet Assigned Names Authority, a set of functions that ICANN manages with respect to the daily updates of the global internet route, as well as internet address allocation for IPv4 and IPv6. So there's a number of strategic projects in that IANA area and field as well. And finally, fourthly, a healthy internet ecosystem. ICANN is a part of an ecosystem that, of course, includes many other groups, our at-large communities, the ISOC or Internet Society chapters around the world, the important work the Internet Society does, the IETF, the Internet Engineering Task Force, also the Internet Governance Forum, sponsored by the United Nations, and W3C, or the World Wide Web Consortium, together with the root operators, together with the regional internet registries that are distributing the addresses globally, and many of the other infrastructure providers. So our goal is to foster a healthy internet ecosystem. So moving forward, when we look at new initiatives, everything needs to line up underneath those four programs. That should bring more focus and clarity to our efforts. And it will help us to define both what we do and also that which we will not do. Transparency. Under the affirmation of commitments, ICANN committed to enhance transparency and accountability in our operations. As a CEO, I've been very focused on this initiative. And as I told many parties, as far as I'm concerned, with transparency, the buck starts here or the buck starts here. And so we've started initiatives in ICANN, both from the top down and from the bottoms up, to look at everything we do and to enhance our initiatives and improve transparency. Three highlights I simply want to mention at this time. The first is that we just published all of our current executive salaries online. There's very few organizations in the world that do that. Some publish some salaries a year and a half later in the annual report or with some delay. Now all the current executive salaries and compensation are online with the justification for those positions. That was accomplished in January. This is a best practice that we felt ICANN should model. Secondly, Denise Michael, who many of you know from the policy support operation where she was vice president, has taken on a new role. And that role is to be my senior advisor on accountability and transparency. She's working on some very exciting plans to develop systems and processes in ICANN to track our activities and where we're going. We'll be reporting on that more in the future. The last point is we've enhanced the timeliness of reporting critical information to you, the community, which has not always been popular for all parties because, you know, truth and the information sharing always has an impact on parties. But we've done that swiftly, whether through Twitter, whether through the ICANN website and blogs and other sites online. We've sought to share information extremely quickly, an example being the ICM panel findings, which when John Jeffries, our general counsel, called me and said, we just got a finding from the panel. It wasn't necessarily what the ICANN had hoped for, but we got this result. I said, well, we need to tweet that immediately so the world knows. And John Jeffries helped me craft a message that went out immediately. So that message went out, and I asked John, I said, take that document, the panel report, let's get it out to the public as soon as possible. We needed to review it just to make sure legally we could disclose all of it. There were some tiny pieces of confidential information of another party in the document that we had to address, and as soon as we did, we posted it online within 2 hours of my learning of the panel finding. So that's an example of what we will seek to do our best to run a highly transparent operation. Next slide, please. I would also like to introduce three new leaders in the ICANN organization that we're thrilled to have join us here in Nairobi. First, Mr. Jamie Hedlund. Jamie, if you can please stand up. If you're in the room, please stand up and face the crowd. Jamie is our new Vice President of Government Affairs for Washington, D.C., and for the Americas. Jamie speaks fluent French and Spanish as well as English, so he's only missing Portuguese for Brazil, but otherwise covers the language of the Americas. Terrific background. He was a director of policy development at Yahoo. He was most recently vice president at the Consumer Electronics Association, and he has an outstanding background. Also worked at the Federal Communications Commission as an attorney. Jamie, we're thrilled to have you on board. Secondly, we have Barbara Clay, who is joining us as our Vice President of Marketing and Communications. Barbara, can you please stand up? Can you please stand up? Barbara was most recently Vice President of Marketing and Communications at Transparency International, an excellent international organization based in Berlin that operates globally, bringing transparency to the world and reporting on it. So she has a very relevant background for some of our initiatives here at ICANN. She was also at the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. And prior to that, she was at the U.S. White House for 8 years of her career. But she's lived about the last 13 years in Europe, in the U.K. and in Germany. And Barbara, we're simply thrilled to have you on board. Thirdly and finally, David Olive. Some of you know David Olive. David, if you're in the room, please stand up. David must have stepped out. There's David back here. All right, let's give David a hand. Many of you may know David because he's been very involved in ICT issues globally. David spent the first 15 years of his career in foreign service around the world, speaks at least four or five languages, and he spent the last 15 years at Fujitsu Corporation, where he became the first non-Japanese person in Fujitsu history to become a general manager of Fujitsu. And so we thought he might have good skills in collaboration and consensus building that could be valuable in the policy support area where he's taking on Denise Michael's former role. But we're really thrilled to have you on board, David. Thank you so much. And with that, I would like to hand over the program to Doug Brent, Chief Operating Officer of ICANN.
Everyone is very anxious.
Yes, thank you. Everyone's very anxious to get on with the work of the meeting, so I'll quickly try to give us a little roadmap of what we're covering, what the issues are, what some of the community progress has been, and try to do that in enough time that we can really get on with the work. And at the same time, I get to see if I can use the technology here. Just starting with the IDN Fast Track work, I think people are well aware at this point there's been 16 requests come into the IDN Fast Track process covering six languages. Four strings have actually completed the string evaluation phase and will move into delegation phase. There's other important work in the IDN area going on, including the recent adoption of a new IDNA protocol by IETF, work on guidelines, and there will be discussion at the meeting this week on a relaxation in certain cases of three character names. The new GTLD program will again be a major focus of the meeting this week. In fact, the first session, as you see on the right, will start just in minutes after we're done today to talk about the EOI, Expression of Interest model for using new generic top-level domains, talk about the important work to come out of the trademark STI work from the GNSO. And many explanatory memoranda and analyses were published for this meeting for consideration by the community. I actually have gotten some very positive feedback from readers that says this analysis, especially around expression of interest, is some of the best that they've seen in terms of ICANN's work. And that will feed into an anticipation of a new draft applicant guidebook in the Brussels timeframe. As of yet still, we're not focusing on a launch date. What we're focusing on is getting the issues the community has raised resolved. There will be work discussed today on affirmation of commitments. This is the important document that was signed, sort of ending an era for ICANN and starting a new one, operating under this notion of an affirmation of commitments. There'll be a discussion later today, as you see, a review session on where we are. Just very briefly, work was posted on both a process for handling the first accountability and transparency review on December 26th. That's gone through extensive feedback. There's been a call for participants to participate in this accountability and transparency review. As of last night, 24 people had responded to that, and that will be the basis of the accountability and transparency team. DNSSEC implementation is one of the key operational initiatives of ICANN to help fulfill our mission of DNS stability. That is being done jointly with VeriSign and the NTIA of Department of Commerce in the United States. That program has made great progress with an anticipation of launching that signed route in July of this year with some major milestones along the way. I'll say another small leadership step is while we're in Nairobi, ICANN will be DNSSEC signing the ICANN.org zone. And so hopefully by Friday we'll be able to put up a demonstration screen of a signed ICANN.org. Many of the speakers this morning, many of the Kenyan speakers and ICANN speakers talked about security and stability, and this will be another major focus of the meeting with a significant review on Wednesday. There's been a strategic initiatives paper published, and we'd really welcome your feedback on that. One of the things that came out of our strategic plan was a focus on a DNS cert and understanding what role ICANN might have in leading that. There's recently been an IANA continuity exercise, seeing what capability ICANN had to ensure that if there was an earthquake in California or some other disaster, that ICANN could continue to operate the IANA. So this is another area of significant improvement for ICANN and will be a subject of discussion this week. I'm going to quickly cover some of the elements of the global engagement program at ICANN and progress made since the last meeting. There's been new accountability frameworks signed with Singapore, Papua New Guinea, Georgia. New members for the CCNSO. I'll let you read that list. I think I'll note later that the CCNSO passed, just at the end of last year, 100 members, which was a milestone for our organization. Also, 9 new GAC members. Oh, I see our CCNSO board members applauding that, a major achievement for the CCNSO. We've gotten new GAC membership, and again, I think we heard a call this morning for that being incredibly important, especially with our presence in Africa, to see if we could get more GAC participation. The GAC also continues to grow. I'm going to briefly cover ICANN finances, but we'll also note that this is another area of discussion at the meeting this week. First of all, looking at ICANN's current fiscal year, the one we're operating in right now, probably more than any other prior period for ICANN, we've experienced budget pressure. That is, that with tightly managing expenses and current revenue, it's proven hard with some unanticipated legal expenses, facility expenses, and others to make that budget. That remains a focus for ICANN's management to operate efficiently and within budget, and we're reporting actively to the board on that topic. One of the financial reports that has been most embraced by the community, and of course with always the request for more, is a report that sort of looks at our finances by the area in which the finances are incurred. So in support of generic names and the GNSO, in support of country codes and the CCNSO, just thought I'd put that table up for your review, and that's available online as well. Many people ask, we heard earlier from Keenick some discussion about their reserve fund. That also is a major focus for ICANN. Where are we in our reserve fund? At the end of last year, ICANN's reserve fund was at about $45 million, and that actually showed a net investment gain of about $1 million over all the money that's been invested. In a very turbulent economic time, we think that was a good result. An important topic of the meeting today will be the fiscal year 11 budget. And we really encourage you to participate in this discussion this year more than ever. There's going to be some hard trade-offs. ICANN's revenue growth has leveled out, and ICANN's the desire for community projects only increases. And so I think this year more than ever, we're really looking for the community to participate. I think one word in this slide that I'd like to emphasize is framework. It doesn't say draft budget. It doesn't say final budget. It is a framework for discussion that really begins with the meeting today, looking for your feedback to finish in June. I think I'll just move on. Cover some of the key community work that's going on, and you know, it's really all the people sitting out there who are doing this work, but just to highlight a couple. There was a new GNSO council structure started in Seoul. I think there's been five different working groups with an anticipation of some of that work possibly finishing by Brussels, you know, with wide-ranging efforts and great intensity in terms of this improving the operations and the policy-making ability of the GNSO. One of the statistics I find just astonishing is that the GNSO now has 21 active working groups. That is a big volume of work, and I think leads into a further topic for the GNSO, which is there some way to prioritize and consider the prioritization of this work, particularly in that the GNSO, I think, is collaborating more broadly than ever. I see Cheryl Langdonor nodding with At Large on issues, with ESSAC on issues, and with CCNSO on issues. So getting those cross-community priorities, I think, is going to be more important than ever. CCNSO, we could even say it again because it was such a major milestone for the CCNSO passing 100 members. Everyone hears about this IDN fast track work. That policy has been completed. But what's even more important is a long-term policy for handling IDN, CCTLD, IDN names, and that's an active program underway by the CCNSO and will be discussed in this meeting. I'll also say that the CCNSO has taken a very active approach in terms of engaging on budget and strategic plan, and I think that that really can be a model for how the community as a whole does it. It's been very effective. Just briefly, in terms of some addressing issues going on right now, I think everyone is aware that the IPv4 address space is becoming depleted. We're at about the 10% remaining level. 90% has been used. And so there's policies under consideration by the global regional internet registries around smaller address block allocations, around ensuring that, you know, fairness of allocation of those last address blocks. And while this is a technical detail about 32-bit ASNs, autonomous system numbers, it's another important addressing policy issue that has to do with internet access and growth, and that's something that will be taken up under the next 12 months. At large, I think it's one of the exciting parts of ICANN that's growing rapidly with 120 different user groups. I think At Large over the last couple of years has proven to be a robust policy input model and policy influencing model for ICANN, both growing in terms of the number of those policy advice, and at least I'll personally state, I think, in the quality and the depth of that advice as well. So it's been, the program going on for At Large, and this meeting will be extensive as well. And to note that at large is considering approaches for when a step is made to put an at-large member on the board, what that process would look like. And just like GNSO, all in the context of improvements within the at-large operations as well. So with that, and that was a whirlwind tour of everything going on this week, all the schedules are online, so I encourage you to do that. We've tried today, Monday, to have the least conflict ever so that these important sessions you can attend without missing something else. So I encourage you to come today to hear about the important new GTLD issues, affirmation of commitments. And with that, I'll close this opening session, say thank you very much, and look forward to your active participation during the week. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that completes this morning's welcome ceremony. We will be going into the other programs that are noted on your schedule, and there is a coffee break available for all of you. Thank you so much for attending this morning.